All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our ERC January. It's a Gold Goal Plus call, and it's our first one for the new year. Happy New Year. I hope it's going well for you so far. We're here to start and to continue and to just answer all your questions. So give me your questions. Yeah. And also start with a celebration first, because it's always nice to start with the what's going right.
Oh, celebration. What am I celebrating?
Success, celebration, something that you're proud of, excited about.
Sorry, I've got brain fog. It doesn't come to me always quickly. But what is the success? Meditating in the morning. That's my success.
Well, that's a huge one. Yay.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Okay. My question is, I have a long history, and stuff, which is why I joined this. And, what I've been noticing, and that seems to be continuing, is that it's like I'm not getting nutrition. So, my hair has grayed a lot and falling out now. I mean, gray hair, great, I understand it, but falling out more a lot, I find my hair all over the place. It's not huge amounts, but it's enough that I have to gather them up, right? And then my skin has really loosened, especially at least it noticed on my face. It's not, what is that, collagen or something that keeps the skin?
Yeah, collagen keeps it supportive.
And then I'm just concerned that maybe I'm not absorbing it. I have the gut, I have a leaky gut of some kind. And I also don't eat enough, really, I don't think, but.
Okay, so let me just stop you there, because not eating enough, you can only absorb what you take in, right?
Well, at least that's what I assume. I have smoothies in the morning, and then I don't always have lunch, but I can kind of graze. I'm more of a grazer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a regular dinner, usually.
Are you losing weight?
I'm not losing weight, but I can't seem to gain either.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask you a few questions, okay?
Yes, please.
Yes. So have you done any of your lab testing?
Yes. Yeah, we did a bunch of that. And you talked to me about
it. Well, I talked to you about your Dutch, right? Was it your Dutch or was it?
No, something? I haven't done the Dutch yet.
Have you done the stool test?
What was the one that we did for the big lab event?
That's your blood chemistry.
Oh, no, I have not done a stool test.
You haven't done a stool test? Well, you're in gold, so you should have gotten a Dutch test and a fatty acid test.
Fatty acid, I haven't done either, but I need.
You haven't done. Okay, I would definitely get the fatty acid, because your fat imbalances can relate, and we'll be able to tell from that how well you're absorbing. It's not a direct test of absorption, but if certain things are off in there, but you're eating them, it will show us. So I would get the fatty acid test. And have you done the Dutch test yet?
No.
No.
It's been I'm having a difficult time in my life right now.
So finding the time to actually do
it's not that the brain fog is a real challenge, because I lose track of stuff all the time and it's hard to focus.
Who's your coach?
Patty.
Okay. And have you had many appointments with her, several appointments with her?
I've had like three or four maybe.
And what are some of the things that you're working on based on those appointments?
Right now I was working on doing a menu plan, so to make sure that I eat properly.
Okay.
I also was really excited to start eating nuts and seeds, but it's not working.
It's
not working for me.
What happens?
Diarrhea. Yeah, I mean,
What about other high fat foods?
Yeah, I told you, I think before, that I use ghee for my,
you tolerate that. Okay.
I seem to tolerate it. I have for years.
My only concern with that is that it has probably, unless it's guaranteed casein free, it would have traces of casein in it.
Well, it's called Ancient Organics, and they have this whole, have you heard of them?
I don't do ghee, so I haven't really researched
it. Anyway, it's done in the Ayurvedic style, so the way they do it is different. I don't know. I really like it.
But. Look at it and see if it's, make sure it's casein free, because you can have a casein allergy and not be aware of it.
I don't think it has that, but yes, I'll look.
Okay. And then what other, do you do avocados okay? Do you digest coconut okay? Do you get diarrhea?
I don't do coconut well at all. I used to have coconut when I was younger, but I can't seem to digest it anymore.
Okay. So it sounds to me like there's some liver gallbladder issues going on here.
There is liver issues. In fact, I'm going to, from that, from the nutrition thing and that we did, yes, I have, yeah. I'm going to get a ultrasound at the end of the week.
Okay.
My All doctor right. is helping me with that.
And do you take any digestive enzymes?
Yeah, I do.
Which ones?
Oh dear.
Well, the reason I ask is because they're all different in terms of the amount of protease digesting protein, lipase digesting fat, amylase digesting starch, and then cellulase and other things that are added. So you want to find the right one for you. There's a couple of them that are really specific for fat digestion. And okay. There's one called LipoGold, LipoGold. And okay. I think it's actually, for me, I've looked at several. That one has the best ratios for fat digestion. It has a really high amount of lipase in it. So for people who are having trouble with that.
Okay. Right.
Because if you don't get enough good fats, and that's another reason I want you to do that essential fatty acid test, the blood spot fatty acid test. It's a quickie. You poke your finger, you put it on the card, and you go from there. I'm going to try to keep track of the chat. I have a hard time with multitasking with this because the chat is so tiny. Let me see if I can take off the participants list.
Digestive enzymes. Well, I am on Digest that Patty put me on.
Yeah, and that's a great one. But if you're having trouble with the fat, so if you're on Digest, you can just find a lipase. And that same company, Transformation Enzymes, has one called Lipase.
Lipase.
And that might be actually better than having it all in one, because that way, when you're having foods with fat, you can adjust the lipase in there. You can take one, you can see how that goes. Oh, that was a little better, but not 100% better. Let me take two the next time. You start with small quantities of fats. You want to make your fats more absorbable. So when you're dealing with, this is why I asked the difference between the nuts and the seeds, or the coconut and avocado, which they're easier
avocado
to digest.
Is fine. Avocado
is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. It's mostly monounsaturated, mono. So, and coconut, what same kind of problem where you get diarrhea?
Well, I mean, I have this idea, and I don't remember where, but that I'm actually have a reaction to coconut.
So it might be an allergy type reaction. Yeah. Right. Okay. So I would do is it all nuts, all seeds, or just certain ones?
Well, I got all excited and I bought a bunch of nuts. So I still am eating a few of them here and there, but much smaller amounts. So I might've overdone it, you know, cause it's been a long time since I've had.
Right. And they're yummy and they're addicting.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay. So what about seeds? Do you have the same problem with seeds?
I have been having sprouted sunflower and other seeds, and I think it's still causing a problem. I don't know why.
Okay, so it might be the quantity of fat. So what I would do, the top thing that I would do here is get some lipase. Since you already have the digestive enzyme, get lipase. I believe that same company has just lipase by itself.
Okay.
Okay, and then start with a little bitty amount, take your lipase with it. If you do well, the next time you can do a little bit more and find the tolerance. Now, nobody should really be eating more than an ounce or two of nuts at a time.
Oh yeah, I probably overdid.
Okay. Now with the sprouted sunflower seeds, that's already sprouted. So you can do similarly with your nuts. I would take something like, you know, an almond or walnuts are actually good because they're high omega-3s. And what we do is we take them and we soak a big batch of them. Mm-hmm. We rinse them off. My husband likes it with salt and some seasonings. He puts a little salt and seasonings on them, puts them in the dehydrator, dehydrates them, and uses them. What's that? You know, then you do. Then you put them in the dehydrator, you put them in a jar, and then you test that. So you start with testing one nut.
I bet you that's going to help, because I had a container of really nice walnut and I didn't have any problem. It was ground up. I can't remember the company.
Yeah.
This very small little thing. Anyway, I don't have any problems with that.
With that.
They don't, I think they must. So, okay.
That's so that you soak them. And if you don't want to go through the trouble of dehydrating, you just soak them, rinse them, but then you have to eat them more quickly. So you just do a tiny amount. And then you have to eat them within a few days because they're fresh then.
I probably would dehydrate. It's fine. Thank you.
But dehydrating is great, because I just keep a jar of the sprouted walnuts in my freezer all the time. And I throw them on salads and all that. And it works out really well. But if I overdo nuts, I don't get diarrhea, but I don't feel so hot, right? Because it's just too much fat at one time. The other thing to watch for is chewing. Do make sure that you are chewing.
Okay, yeah, that can happen if you're not thinking about it.
Very easy. Oh, another one. You're watching TV. Exactly. You're doing, right?
I'm not eating nearly as much as I did at first, I'll admit. But so what about almonds? Because I read something now, of course, I can't remember. That almonds can have a certain impact. Like I bought a lot of almonds. And then my chiropractor, he does muscle testing. He said, you're allergic to these almonds.
Well, it may not be allergic. And the other possibility is oxalate sensitivity.
I do have that.
Yeah, so almonds are high in oxalates. Almonds and peanuts are the two that are high in oxalates. It. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure if sprouting them actually gets rid of some of it, because I know that when you boil vegetables, a lot of the oxalates come out in the water. I wonder if while you're soaking the almonds, some of it comes out in the water.
I can look
it up. And then you rinse it. So whenever you're doing this, rinse the nuts and soak them and all that, you must rinse them before you eat them. Unlike sea vegetables, where if you soak them and the water is full of the nutrients, I just use the water in it as soup or whatever. You don't do that with nuts. So that's the other thing. They have some enzyme inhibitors in them. Right. That might be what you're reacting to.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's okay. Really.
You're welcome. All right. And always relax when you're eating. This is one thing that all of us do badly. Just eat mindlessly. Take bites, slow bites, relax your body, allow yourself, because otherwise cortisol jumps in and it messes with your digestion.
I think I'm the perfect example of that.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you so much, Dr. Vandering.
You're welcome. It looks like I'm not able to talk. I have a question about P5P powder. When I take at night at bed in my tea, it makes me very sleepy. If you're talking P5P, P5P is a precursor to serotonin and then melatonin. It helps to create more. So yeah, feeling sleepy when you take P5P, yes. I wouldn't necessarily take it in your tea because it's hot and I don't know the impact of heat on a water-soluble vitamin like that. So I would take it separately and just take it right at bedtime. Yeah, Catherine says, I sympathize with the brain fog. Haven't done some of my testing because my brain fog is difficult comprehending. Okay, so this is easier to follow your chats, because in the last call where there were 50 people on it, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't keep up with the chat and also present at the same time. I'm not that talented. So, okay, good. Denise, welcome. Yeah, go ahead, Catherine.
Hey.
Hi.
Last week in one of the calls, you had mentioned a little bit about thyroid resistance.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could explain a bit about thyroid resistance. How do you know if you have it? What do you do about it? And if there's a relationship to that with insulin resistance or leptin resistance. And basically what's going on when you've got multiples of these? My doctors told me I have leptin resistance and insulin resistance.
You probably have thyroid resistance too. Yeah, so what is it? So every cell on your body, I'm just doing surface cells, but you know, your organs and all, every cell has receptors for hormones. Not every cell has receptors for testosterone, for example, because we don't need testosterone in every cell, especially if we're female, but every cell has receptors for hormones. Insulin is on all cells. Thyroid is on all cells. Leptin, I'm not sure if it's on all cells or most cells. And what happens is those receptors can get damaged. They can get damaged by a lot of the things that we talk about in the insulin resistance program about chemicals in the environment, oxidative stress, et cetera, a lot of things. They can also get less sensitive from overworking, right? So for example, insulin resistance. We just eat a lot of sugar, carbohydrates. We have high levels of insulin constantly bombarding the cells. The cells say, no, 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 no more. Similar with thyroid, right? With thyroid receptors get damaged. They are very sensitive to things like chemicals in the environment. The thyroid gland itself is very sensitive to chemicals in the environment, you know, excess bromine and chlorine and things like that as well. So when these receptors get resistant, you no longer, you can be producing perfect amounts of thyroid, but you no longer pull it into your cells. There's no way for you to pull it all into your cells. So in that regard, you're resistant. You're got good levels. Doctor says, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's all in your head. You're a hypochondriac. Your thyroid is fine. I don't know why you have thyroid symptoms. It's because of thyroid resistance. And I always assume that people have thyroid resistance as a starting point. You have to heal it. In order to heal it, you do need to work on the insulin resistance. I did a presentation for practitioners. I think it was either last summer or the summer before, and it was called the myth of resistance or the you know, whatever about resistance. And we talked about how insulin resistance affects the resistance of all the other cells. Like insulin is queen mama hormone, and it can cause resistance, testosterone resistance, estrogen resistance, adrenaline resistance, you name it, you can have resistance, right? Now with thyroid, we found that if you're low in vitamin A, those receptors don't work as well. If your homocysteine is high, those receptors don't well. So do you remember if your homocysteine is high? I don't remember from your...
I'm pretty sure my homocysteine was high. Basically any inflammatory marker was high.
Yeah. So, you know, homocysteine is generally the easiest of the inflammatory markers to go down because B6, B12, and folate are the main causes of it being high. So you need to be supplementing with those in forms that your body can actually use, which is why I recommend a liposomal form or capsules are not as good, or just because they don't get absorbed well. Vitamin B12, and we teach this in the vitamin section. Vitamin B12 requires intrinsic factor to be absorbed in the stomach, produced in the stomach. So if you have any stomach issues, anybody that's had gastritis or ulcers or low stomach acid, high stomach acid, you probably have some damage to the cells that produce intrinsic factor. When you take a capsule of B12 or you take B12 in food, it gets attached to this intrinsic factor in the stomach, but then it doesn't get absorbed until way, 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 like 22 feet or more later at the end of the small intestine, beginning of the large intestine. So it has to make its way, then it gets attached, but then it has to get protected and make its way all the way down there to get absorbed. So I don't recommend capsules for anybody that's, you know, over the age of 10, really, realistically, because we start to degrade that over time. And, you know, all the abuse of childhood gets caught up and stomach is damaged and all that. So I recommend more like a sublingual, but here's my problem with sublingual. Some people do really well. If you use a sublingual liquid and you put it under your tongue, how long do you have to sit still before all that liquid gets absorbed before you swallow it accidentally, right? It's hard. So a little lozenge you can put under your tongue and you do that way. Well, what's the problem with those? For some, most of them have xylitol in them. And a lot of people get gut reactions to xylitol, right? So really, that's why I recommend the liposomal. The liposomal B12 and folate, they can get absorbed right at the very top of your small intestine without needing anything special, right? They just get pulled in because liposomals go right through the membrane of the intestinal tract without any help, right at the beginning. So that's what I recommend. And when you look at studies, the best absorption happens with the liposomals, okay? I mean, they have a really nice Homo Cyst X, and it's a product from Seeking Health. Seeking Health has it. And you can take that, which has all the things that you need to absorb it. And you might, you know, take that if you want to, but you'd have to take more than they say, right? And you see if you get a reaction to it. Younger people do that better. But as we get older, we have those issues I just talked about. And you're still having that headache, aren't you?
Right now I'm having not a headache, but feeling like I have fire ants crawling on me.
Oh.
I've been having a lot of those kinds of weird sensory issues for the past couple of weeks. And it's just, it's insane.
Oh.
So it messes everything up, including the ability to sleep.
I can imagine. I once did have fire ants crawling all over me, and they were crawling in my bed, and they were crawling up, and they were coming in at night. And I actually found them. I'm like, well, I'm waking up in the middle of the night with this like burning fiery thing. And we figured out it was. So I don't envy you having that feeling of fire ants crawling over you. It's horrible. So there's, you have it. You really need to work on that thing. If you haven't tested your A, then just take some vitamin A, right? And I haven't seen your genes. I know you loaded them up. I haven't had a chance to look at them yet. But BCMO1 is a SNP that you would prevent you from converting your beta carotene to vitamin A. So in any case, if you just take 5,000 of a micellized vitamin A, Seeking Health has it, Claire has it. There's a bunch of companies that have it. All right. Micellized vitamin A. And then take B12, folate, and B6. We don't know exactly which one, but even if we don't, you're not going to get in trouble by taking all three and see what that does to your homocysteine. You have to bring your homocysteine down. You have to bring your A up. And then, of course, addressing adrenals, because too much cortisol can affect the receptors, but too little cortisol can affect the receptors as well. So balancing your adrenals is super important.
Yeah, and on the adrenal front, I've been told I have adrenal fatigue for, you know, that my cortisol pattern is kind of screwy, but I need to do the testing to...
Do the Dutch testing. You're working with Lisa, right?
Yeah.
She's brilliant at analyzing them, and she'll help you come up with a plan.
Yeah.
Okay?
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? Hi, Peggy. Hi, Gina.
Hi. Hi. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
On the probiotics from Custom Probiotics, can I double combine them and take, the D-lactate free and the other one that you just told me about, the powders? Together. Can I just combine them together, take them
rather than all? You can. Yeah, absolutely. There's okay. No one formula. I wish they'd make a formula that was like the oxalate eater formula.
You know? Right. Right. And then just a question on the powdered mushrooms. If it's just a plain powdered mushroom, I have to decoct it first.
Or steep it either. If it's like chaga, if it's shiitake or maitake, they're actually food grade and those are usually fine. Right. Right. But if it's like chaga or reishi or one of those, boil water, pour it over it, let it simmer for 15 minutes or so, stir it up and you should be good.
But if it was a extract powder, you don't have to do that.
You can just put it in.
And then should I strain it?
When you do the chaga, it just never melts, so to speak, in the water. Right. So straining it could be good because then what you do is you can just make another cup with that and add a little less water or add more to it.
Yeah. So even though it's powder, I can use it like two or three times like I do on my astragalus and reishi and all that
you
stuff.
Could. Yeah. Okay. You totally okay. Could.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. Gina. Hi.
Hi. I have success stories, Dr. Rita Marie.
I want to hear them. Yay. I love success stories.
Okay. So I started my elimination diet yesterday morning. And just in one day, Dr. Rita, my skin or my finger detoxing is improved. Oh my gosh. It's healing already.
Wow. Congratulations. What did you eliminate to get there?
lot, all.
Oh, whole thing in phase one, you did in one fell swoop. Okay, good.
So what I did is I baked a lot of these winter squash medley over the holidays. So I started eating them. And then I also made a smoothie with completely new ingredients. Sacha Inchi is one of them. And then I had a bunch of stuff that I put in there. And I put it in chronometer yesterday. Oh, I was so busy yesterday. And then I tracked my glucose. I tracked my everything. Oh my gosh, I felt so great in one day. I was like, oh my God, that's just in one day.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I was like, that's how it feels to be more alive, to be not having all of this other inflammatory markers affecting you. Wow.
That's amazing that you got it that quickly. And I'm just curious, and I know you don't want to hear this about the rice because you're eating
it. Okay, you know what? I survived without the rice because, you know, I baked some red potatoes. Mm-hmm. And I added them to my squash, just a few, just yeah, little bits of pieces, and just to make myself satiated, right?
Yeah.
Able to get through, even though I was feeling my glycemic index, my glucose going down. I ate an apple just to help that.
You said you tested how high did your glucose go throughout all that time?
115.
Okay, so that's within range.
Yesterday, and then today went up to 124.
Okay, so maybe did you put the potatoes in the fridge after, and the squash in the fridge?
Yes, they were all in the fridge overnight, and then I ate them a little bit warm, not too hot, but I ate the squash, all of them yesterday, and then my smoothie, I had a spirulina added to my smoothie. I had Swiss chard. I had lacinato kale. I had a few different things I added. And then the Sacha Inchi and cherry, half a cup of cherry, just a few things.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Oh my God. That's just one day. So now I have a question on the Keto Mojo machine.
Yeah.
I have an old machine, like the one that you sent me. I got the new test strips, and I don't think they're working together.
No, the new test strips don't. So here's the deal, and this is something that Peggy found out when she called them. I'll see if I can. I'm going to write this down. Post the response she got. So if you go, and you can return the thing, and I'll give you the exact information and how to do it, but they will trade in your old one and give you a new one when you buy like $60 worth of strips, like it's right, whatever, to replace. The new strips come in a little foil packet, and they won't work in the new one, right?
Okay, that right. Found that out.
So yeah, so I will get you, I'll find the thing that Peggy sent me that they sent her, and they'll send you that. You'll get plenty of strips. It's like cheaper to buy their new strips than it. Yeah. And then they'll send you the new meter. You just have to send it back. They'll send you a little packet.
Okay.
To return it.
Get me that info. Okay. And then the other question I have is, once in a while, I do get pain in my adrenal kidney area. The pain goes on and off, and it's a mild pain. I know my adrenals are shot. Based on my lab test results. Is that normal to have these kidney adrenal pain area off and on?
Is it tender when you go down the side of your rib cage and like at the very bottom, like right on the side, right at the bottom of your rib cage?
Right now it's not tender. I'm able to push on it.
And the pain, is it a throbbing pain? Is it a spasmy pain?
It's like a tingling pain.
And how long does it last for?
Sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes less. It's like shooting. It's like tingling. It's like pulsating pain.
Yeah. So my only, and is it both sides? Is it same on both sides? It happens both sides at the same time. It alternates.
Alternate.
Okay. All right. So when I'm trying to rule out, like, this is the thing, I ask lots of questions to try to figure out what's going on. I want to make sure it's not like a kidney stone. because a kidney stone can be pulsating. It's rare to have a kidney stone doing it with both sides like that or alternating like that. So it's probably not that. It could be, do you have any cloudy urine or blood in your urine or pain with urination?
No, I don't.
And has this been going on for a long time, like years or just recently?
Just recently. Recently. I do have kidney stones, small ones.
Okay. So that if you already know you do, then they may be just trying to make their way out.
Okay.
Okay. And that you know that because of an ultrasound?
I had a major test done in 2015, 2014. They ran through this liquid in my body and they determined the size of the kidney stones on one side.
Did they say anything about whether they were large enough or small enough to easily pass through? Sometimes they're tiny and you don't even know you passed them if they're not. Okay, so I would look at oxalates number one, but you know, be careful with the chard. Because you added chard, that's high oxalate. Just be careful with it. Don't do that every day. But it might be that you have these stones can be brought down. Vitamin B6, big deal with stones, whether it's uric acid or oxalate stones. Did they say which kind of stones they were?
No, but they did measure it. And I can still go back probably to that test result back then. I can still pull it up.
My concern is that if you're, you know, like you're detoxing and your kidneys might be pulsating, trying to remove them, that you go into bent over, doubled over, horrible pain as they try to get through the little tubes. So breaking them down would be a good thing. So B6 and magnesium, really important for pulling them out. There's an herb called chancra piedra. That has been used, you know, traditionally for a long time for getting rid of gallstones and kidney stones. It helps to actually break them down.
How do you spell that? C-H-N?
C-H-A-N.
A-N.
Chancra. C-R-A.
C-R-A. Okay, yeah, chancra.
Something like that. Google's great. If you misspell it, you'll still find it. Google it. You'll find it.
Okay.
Piedra. Okay. P-I-E-D-R-A. It's basically stone breaker. The other thing I've found to be helpful is proteolytic enzymes, so protein digesting enzymes taken on an empty stomach, not with food, because with food it'll digest your food, but taken on an empty stomach. So that would be like a protease. Bromelain could be helpful. Papain. Bromelain's from pineapple, papain's from papaya, or just protease. Companies like Transformation Enzyme will have separate ones.
Do you know anything about the advanced enzyme system? I just got this from Rainbow Light. It has some of those herbs.
It has some of them, but it's probably not sufficient enough to be breaking down a stone or decreasing inflammation, like as a protease alone, right? That's a great meal digestion. You take that with a meal. But I would say, look at transformation enzymes. They're available on the Dr. Supplement store, which you have a coupon for. You know, we just set up a perpetual 10% off coupon with them. Where else? That's my favorite because they have a lot of the stuff that's kind of like custom probiotics for probiotics where you can get the individuals. They sell the individuals, right? And look for a protease. And they just have one called protease.
Is that P-R-O-T-E-A-S-E?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And then the other thing is the acid in my stomach. I do get that pain. I know I have high acidic. You mentioned some terms when you were reviewing my lab, and we can go over this again on
hypochlorhydria.
Something acidic, too much acid in my
It might be too low in acid, so we'll look at that again on our next call.
Yeah, and it's causing me pain when I drink water with lemon and I add peppermint to it.
Okay, so you might have a sphincter. The sphincter that is, it's very loose sphincter anyway, between the esophagus and the stomach, and your stomach contents might be coming up into your esophagus and burning that lower part of your esophagus, okay? Bitters with your meals, are you taking those yet?
I have taken the arugula. I try to chew some Okay, I do. That's what I do for bitters.
Yeah, and you may want to, you know, be more consistent with that. Make sure when you chew the arugula that you're leaving it in your mouth for 5 minutes so that the, it's right, because you want to release all that juice so that it has time to bathe the receptors under your tongue, which then feed down and stimulate the HCL production in your gut.
Yeah, I haven't been doing that. Then
the other easier way is to just get a bitters formula. There's a number of bitters formulas. My favorite, two favorites are Herbalist and Alchemist. And then the other one is Summer Box. I think she just calls it Digestive Bitters.
Digestive Bitters.
Yeah, Guts and Glory.
Guts and Glory. Okay, Digestive Bitters.
Yeah.
Guts and Glory. Okay.
And then there's, you know, you can just put a tincture of it. You put the drops under your tongue, and while you're making your dinner, your lunch, whatever, it's just doing its job and it's getting you ready about 15 minutes before your meal.
15 minutes. Okay.
Yep.
That sounds great. And how often do you, okay, change the subject, the ketones. I wanted to monitor my ketones, but I don't have a way to monitor. So just doing the glucose monitoring right now will be the best way while I'm doing
the. Well, you won't know your ketones by measuring glucose. So while you're waiting for your strips, but with ketones, I usually measure once a day, maybe twice a day, if you're in the middle of a cleanse or a fast where it's rapidly dropping.
Okay, yeah, since I don't have a newer meter, I won't be able to take it.
Yeah. So I'll get that out to you guys. Peggy, you know, Peggy graciously sent me the whole document that they sent her. So I'll get that out to everybody.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. That's cool. It for now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You're welcome. All right. Who else has questions, comments? Yeah. Wheaton.
I don't know if anyone else has the Aura ring. But I was wondering, oh, good. So maybe I'm not the only one. I have questions about what do I do now with all of the data that it's storing?
I just look at it day by day, right? I mean, it's just like, how did I do last night? What I do sometimes is I'll look at what did I do last week? Whoops, that was not a good week. I had very low sleep. And it, for me, most of what I use it for is to give me an idea of how well I'm doing. One of the things I need to work on is my heart rate variability. It goes high, but the average tends to still be low. And one of the things you can do if that's the case for you too, is that doing some heart math before going to bed, like really focusing on getting yourself into that state where the heart rate variability gets better. So it depends on what data and what you want to do with it. But every single day, like I'll look to say, whoops, I went to bed too late, or I didn't get enough sleep, or I didn't get enough deep sleep. Not getting enough deep sleep can be impacted by eating too close to bedtime. It can be by being stressed at bedtime. So it just really helps you to see what your actual sleep habits are. Now, if you're waking up in the middle, if it's showing you have wake ups, then that gives you some extra information to say, okay, why am I waking up at that point? Sometimes you wake up and you didn't even know you woke up, right? So it gives you some good information about that. You didn't realize it has this movement indicator. So you can see how much movement you're doing during the night. So I think it's very specific. There's not like one thing that you can do with it. But there's stuff that we can look at to see like how well are you sleeping? So is it showing you like how many hours of sleep you're getting?
It shows me hours. And with all the hot flashes, I wake up and toss and turn multiple times in the night. I consistently in the past few weeks noticed that I reach deep sleep very short amount of time, but I don't know how much I'm supposed to get.
Well, it'll show you percentage wise. And
okay, I'm in the red.
You're in the red. Yeah. So you're not getting enough deep sleep, probably because you're waking up. So getting those hot flashes under control is critical.
Okay.
And that's the stuff we talked about last week when we talked on the Dutch test and some of the supplementation.
I have one more question, if that's all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing the elimination combined with the low oxalates combined with the FODMAP. And you mentioned in the video doing the rare diet, which I've had to go into so I can introduce a few more foods for me to be able to eat. But if I'm allergic to, let's say, an oxalate food, or I'm having intolerances with it, and I all of a sudden introduce one of those that I never eat, isn't that going to cause symptoms?
Yes. So that's a great question. So you know, you're getting ahead of yourself. We did the stage one and then we did stage two, which is then looking at the rare foods, and then stage three. So I have you access those at the beginning, and I need to update the video to be a little bit more explicit since I added the three-stage approach. But yeah, if you go, okay, this is a rare food for me. I hardly ever eat bok choy. I'm going to add that. And you look it up in your oxalates and it's a high oxalate, then you might react to it, right? If you've already lowered your oxalates, right? If you're still in the going down on the oxalates, it's moderate oxalate, you probably can do it. But yeah, you're right. So you have to look at those multiple categories.
Yeah. Okay. And I ate cauliflower today. I was thinking it was fine because broccoli was fine. And it was delicious. It instantly blew up, got the headache. Do I need to restart my elimination because I had symptoms?
No. So you just basically looking for getting to the point where you have a good 4 days of, I feel better. Not 100% necessarily before you start reintroducing. So everybody's elimination phase might be different. Some might be 4 days. Some might be 30 days, right? So you're just noting it in your suspicious foods and you're not going to eat it for the rest of your elimination.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no like, I wish there was just this one great way to do it. Fasting can work, but then you might get an oxalate dumping if you do fasting, right? Because it's completely eliminating all the oxalates. So it's just going to vary. And that's where, you know, we're helping you to customize it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Dr. Yeah, Rita, I put the link to the new meter on the chat.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what it is you go to order and you get 50 strips. And then they send you an upgraded meter because they'll probably, they were going to be out by probably January, February, they said,
with the old strips.
So
I have a question on that. I just bought the refills through Amazon last week. Do I still have to get this? Do I still get the starter stuff?
No, you go and buy more. You're going to need more than 50.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're good till 2020, like September 2022. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just order it again and then you'll get the new meter. Like the meter is free. Cool. Okay. Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
So I've been doing more fun things.
Yay.
I started back up with Legos.
Yay.
And so I'm on my second big set. This one is a Lamborghini.
Whoa.
It's like this big. And I've also started a new thing. It's this cute little crafting thing. It's called Diamond Dots. And it's kind of like cross stitch, paint by number, but you're taking plastic dots that are very, very tiny. Yeah. And sticking them onto the thing. And then it turns into this big picture.
Beautiful.
So I've been I've been doing that.
You have a lot of patience. You like the little intricate stuff.
Well, for me, it's just mindless. You know, but.
Congratulations on that. I'm excited for you.
And then I had my first call yesterday. I joined the AANE, which is like support groups for Asperger's.
Oh, good.
And they even had a specific group specifically for parents with teenage boys. I'm like, all right.
That's a lifesaver. Yay.
And just some of the things that other people were even saying is way worse than what I have to go through, even though this is bad. It's just like, oh my gosh. And then the other good thing is that he moved out, you know, for the 4 months or whatever.
How is that?
Oh, it's so much more work, and taking care of the dogs is a pain, but I keep just telling myself it's so worth the peace and no aggravation from him on a daily basis. you know,
absolutely.
To have to do all the extra work. So that's good.
That's good. You know, it's a trade-off, but it certainly sounds like the right trade-off for you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think tomorrow we're going to sit down because I wanted to give him a couple weeks of after he moved in there to just get settled and whatever before I, you know, hound him. And I also needed time for me to cool down, you know, but we need to have a serious talk about everything. Not that he's going to hear it, but.
It's tough, you know, because you're not just dealing with another peer at the same level, and it's a challenge. And I've known people who have left 20-year marriages because they thought they kept taking it on and thinking they could do it and thinking they can do it and joined a support group and realized this ain't never going to change, right?
Yeah. And there's a book I just started reading, it's dealing with teenagers, not even Asperger teenagers, but just teenagers. And it's just like, when I read it, it's just like, I don't have a choice. I don't have a chance. I just don't have a chance. And then throw the Asperger's on top of that. It's like, it's just insane. I don't even know what to do.
I'll tell you, having raised two teenagers into their 20s now, there were lots of times I just wanted to throw them out because that's what teenagers are like. Mm-hmm. You know, they may be a perfectly beautiful, sane, lovely child, and then they go into these,
I know,
probably hormonally induced,
opposite.
Yeah so it's hard, and then you add the Asperger's on top of that, and it's a challenge. Yeah so we feel for you.
So my question, one of my biggest thing is I'm having these weird pains and I'm not sure what it's from. And so like all the time I was, you know, I didn't want to text you and bug you, you know, during the holidays and everything. So I'm just like, I'll just deal with it. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not going to the doctors. You know what I mean? Like,
you got my curiosity up. What pains? Where are they?
So it's like right in here. And it's like pains under here and it goes all the way through to my back.
Okay. Did you call your chiropractor?
I have not been to a chiropractor's.
Well, your doctor that does the.
Oh, that guy.
Doesn't he do adjustments? That sounds like a rib is out of alignment.
Oh.
The ribs wrap around, right? Yeah. I woke up thinking I had a heart attack one night. Like, whoa, what's going on? And then I realized it went around to the back. I'm like, oh, it's a rib. So I get out my massager and massaged my rib and did my activator and it was fine. So yeah, it sounds like it could be a rib, unless you had an impact, in which case it might be broken, but I don't think.
No.
It could be a rib out of alignment. No, the little muscles between the rib, all the way around, right? Because the rib starts here. Mm-hmm. Goes all the way around.
Like when you were talking, like this part right here, there's some bone right there and it's probably a rib and it's very sore all the time.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's in the front here.
Yep.
You know, and I still have a lot of pain from where all the scar stuff is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like one big owiness. But I mean, I'm so glad they're gone, but you know, the pains are still there and it's been almost 2 years. But it's just this pain, especially right there on that.
Yeah, I would get an adjustment. I would check, get a good, if you don't think that the chiropractor that does all the muscle testing has the physical hands-on skills, then you need to get him to refer somebody. Say, look, I'd like, you know, I think I have a rib out. Can you adjust it or refer to me to somebody who can?
And now that I think about it, some months back, I fell down the stairs and that's the side that I landed on.
Might have jarred it at that point.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. If you take a deep, deep breath, do you feel it?
I feel it, but no more than normal.
So it doesn't
make sense. The pain is just always there, kind of.
I would get it checked. I would definitely get a chiropractor to check you out with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have bruised it, but it, you know, from falling, you definitely could have bruised it from falling.
Yeah.
But it probably, when you have an impact like that, it also jars it. And especially if it's coming around to the front, it was just a local bruise. You'd feel it back there, but you wouldn't feel it coming around if the rib wasn't out of alignment.
Like where are the adrenals and stuff?
The adrenals are in the back, sort of, you know, you're on a bone, right? You are on a bone. So the adrenals are under there, right under there.
Yeah. Because it's like, I can feel it not only right there, but all the way through to the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the adrenals are, so you have your kidney, figure this is your kidney, and your adrenal is like, let me find something.
It's little, right? Adrenals are little. Little
thing on top. It's much smaller than that. It's like an almond on top. Uh-huh. Right. And this is much small. The kidney's smaller than that, but they're protected by this rib cage. So they're not going to be hanging out below the rib cage unless they're severely enlarged for some reason. They would be underneath that. So it's a little higher than where you're talking about the adrenals would be. To find where my rib cage ends here. My rib cage ends here. And then the kidney adrenal is probably like that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't something like, if I don't go to the hospital now, and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's all.
You go to the hospital, they'll give you something like ibuprofen and send you home.
No, thank you. That's why I don't go.
Yeah, and you'll waste your time and money.
And yeah, aggravation. And then I'll get COVID from going there.
Possibly, you know, it's a risk for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would get it adjusted. Call the holistic doctor that you've been going to and say, look, this is what I think is going on. And, you know, can you adjust me? Can I make an appointment to get an adjustment? Or do you want to refer me to somebody else? He's far away. So maybe he has a really good person that's close to you.
Yeah.
Okay. You're in Chicago area, right?
Yeah. Suburb.
Suburb. Which suburb? South? North?
Naperville.
Which one?
Naperville.
Oh, Naperville.
It's like,
I'm trying to think if I know anybody. Yeah, it's west. I don't know anybody that lives out that way that could refer one. I know my sister-in-law likes hers, but she's in Buffalo Grove.
Yeah, that's pretty north.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Just, you know, I've been really trying to read more versus just only watching TV. I've been trying to, you know, do more organizing and stuff. Now that he's gone, I actually have a desire to get up and do stuff.
That's good.
But, you know, dealing with Xander is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm still eating bad food, trying to get juice, but juice makes me not feel good.
Yeah, then don't do juice.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, for you, I really think you had that bonus a couple of years ago. There's the emotional eating piece.
You know, okay, so with her, back before when we had our last goal call, I, maybe even before that, I emailed her and I've never gotten a response back. You know, where you fill in the email form and all of that.
Well, I'll text her and I'll let her know.
I've never gotten any response from her. And it's like, okay. And okay. I even put in there, you know, I'm, you know, I've been with Dr. Reed Marie for like 5 years, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, that I would need your help, or I don't even remember, it was so long ago, you know?
Yep. I'll text her because I think that that's what
I do. I need that.
You need some strategies because you know what to do. We've talked about it over and over again.
Yeah, logically.
And you're not doing it, right? So that's, there's an emotional component that's getting in your way.
Yeah.
And you do it when you go to a structured program like Hippocrates, but then when you come
back. Well, because then I'm not by any of this stress mess.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, knowing that things are not really going to change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having your husband out of the picture for a while, hopefully longer than a while. Will help a lot, right? just getting used to the extra work. But it's, your son is what, 16, 17?
Yeah, he's 16 and a half.
You know, it's not like he's going to be moving out and going off to college anytime soon.
Thank you.
Right. So I think it's really good. It's a good step for you to take that support group and really help you, right? You can't divorce your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I wish we could like put a Band-Aid over everything.
It is what it is.
Make it better and have you be able to do everything. But I think getting support with knowing that it's not going to change now, how can I create coping structures within this? Now right. That it's half of the problem is kind of taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had something, Dr. Ignorini.
Yeah, Jenny.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry, can we ask one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So with the Oura Ring, the heart rate variability, what is it supposed to be?
The higher the better. So, I mean, I like to shoot for at least in the 30s on the average one.
Oh, mine's like in the 40s or 50s.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good. Your average? Yeah, that's great. Better than mine. Way better.
Okay, good. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention, like, I usually check my thing. Like, as soon as I wake up, that's the first thing I do is I check how much sleep did I actually get? How much REM? That's very important for me anyway. And, you know, like last night, I didn't have hardly any REM or deep sleep, had like 4 hours, over 4 hours of, you know, light sleep. But then the day before, I had like a ton of deep sleep. So it's
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it varies a lot based on, you know, your activities in the evening, how stressed out you are, what you've eaten, all sorts of things like that. I find that if I have a short night of sleep where I've only been in bed 4 hours and I've gotten 4 hours of sleep, that my deep sleep makes up and compensates for that. So if I have 4 hours of sleep, it might be 2.5 hours of deep sleep, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody's different.
We want more.
What's that? Whoops. She just went out.
Yeah. So we want
more deep sleep.
We want
to be in the percentages, right?
Usually it's like a quarter deep sleep, a quarter REM, and a half of light sleep. That's what I've seen as a typical, like on average, what it ends up being. For me,
that's about right. You know, half of what they list as the ideals. Is that mine?
I don't know where they list ideals.
Well, the thing here, when you're red, it means that you're out of the ideal. I'll have to look at this again. I thought that chart, you know, this thing here.
Which one?
That one.
How did you get to that?
Below the sleep. So you hit the sleep page. It says 80. Mine was 88 last night.
Yeah.
I got 7 hours and 52 minutes. Yay me. And then... my resting heart rate was 62. My sleep efficiency was 95. They scolded me for timing. I went to bed too late and it was red. And then the sleep stages. So it shows that graph.
Oh, that.
Right. And then right below it, it shows what it should be. I think. Let me look at this again, because I was under the impression that was, but now I'm looking at it. They've changed their things so many times.
So like here's the sleep stages.
Yeah.
And then you have your movement, and then here's the bar graph. And then if you scroll up, then you have, that's your heart rate all night.
Variability. Oops. Yeah. Heart rate. Yeah. There was something on here that showed the percentages amount. Let me look on Oura. What percent target? Because I was looking at that thinking, oh, I'm really good here. But now I'm looking at it going, I don't think so.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awake time is spent. Okay, let's see. If you click on that chart, then it opens up REM and it tells you about REM. But let's see what percentage. On average, REM counts for 20 to 25%. So, yeah. And then deep is 15 to 20 is average. Bright screens, you know, using TV or the computer right before bed can affect that too. And then a light makes up about 50, right? So it's really what you said, 50, 25, 25 is probably what you're targeting for.
Yeah.
I know that when I do only 4 hours of sleep that night, oh, my deep is like 50 or more.
That's not good to go on 4 hours of sleep.
No, it's not. But at least my body's compensating for it.
Yeah,
by giving me the deep. That's the way I look at it. I don't do it that often. You saw 752. I'm excited about that. The other thing I use it for is when I wake up in the morning, I look at it first thing. And especially if I wake up and I don't have to get up right away, I look at it. And if I've only gotten 6 hours and a half or something, I go, well, I can go back to sleep. And I just turn it off and I go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I'm really targeting for that, you know, eight-ish, right? 7.5 to 8.
Well, and one thing that I realized, two things. It's like, once you've woken up and you've looked at it, even if you keep wearing the ring, it's not going to register any more sleep.
You know, one time I thought that, but it sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. So that happened the other day and I went back to sleep for an hour and a half and it didn't register it. But, and it might be if the ring is low. But other times I've done that and then it had this big long awake thing and then it registered it again.
And the only time is like, if you don't look at this, if you don't bring it up on the computer, because once it downloads to your phone, once you go into the app, it downloads and then it's like, okay, your sleep is done. And then that's it.
Okay. That's good.
And then the other thing too, is like, if my arm falls asleep, you know, this side is the one that has the ring on it. And then it'll look as if I'm awake. So I have to like,
oh
yeah. So that's kind of a pain, but
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I should do a thing on the Aura and how the various trackers. I think I want to do a one of those.
Yeah. And how to link it with Chrono and stuff like that. Cause I linked it, but I'm not using, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know how that works in Chrono. I know I linked it to Biocanic.
Oh yeah. That too.
Yeah. And you can look at it there.
Yeah,
but I think you have to do something to sync it, so I have to look at that. I'll look at it doing a whole thing on that.
Right. Sorry, it took so much time.
Okay, sorry. Okay, Jenny.
My celebration is I'm on day 3 of the green cleanse, and my husband and son both agreed to do it for at least 5 days with me.
Awesome.
And yeah, and I'm really excited for my son because he's a very disciplined person and he always has had kind of a regimented diet to a certain degree because he played college athletics or, you know, hockey. And this is his first year not playing for like 20 years. And so he still is maintaining his healthy diet, but his version of a healthy diet is different than what I would consider a healthy diet. I mean, he eats very well. I shouldn't say that. But anyway, he was just saying this morning what he's discovering on the green cleanse, and it's really exciting to me. Like, I'm really happy for him. He's even thinking that he should incorporate it or incorporate fasting into his routine. And I think I'm very happy for him.
Nice. So he's having improvements. That's really awesome.
He's feeling differently. And I told him to hold on till at least the third day. And then I bet that he would have actual, you know, feelings about it, that he would feel differently. Maybe he wouldn't feel very good. Maybe he would. But he worked out this morning and he said he felt great. So
awesome.
Yeah. Excited for that.
That's exciting.
The question I had was, I always seem to come back around to this, but I think it's important to keep asking you, you know, from the bonus from Shine for contributing for the charity, and we got the Dr. Tom O'Brien bonuses, and one of them was his gut summit, and one was his betrayal, which is more about autoimmune. And I watched a couple of the presenters in the gut. I apologize, didn't write down their names. But they always bring up this whole idea of if you take probiotics that they don't really go anywhere unless they're a certain kind, because your stomach just eats them up and it's just a pointless exercise and expensive. So I wondered if you could talk about that, because I do take the probiotic from the one that you recommend. I'm forgetting right now what it was. Yeah. And I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So I think by far the best way to get probiotics into your diet is by getting them into your diet, right? By eating probiotic containing foods. Problem that comes about that some people can't because of histamine intolerances. So they can't do sauerkrauts and they can't do things like that. Other people have problems because of SIBO and it makes them bloated. So there's times when we need to take them. So yeah, there's the stomach acid will destroy some of it. And what we want to optimize is when we take them so that the stomach acid is lower. So your stomach acid is going to be the highest during meals. Okay. So that's why I recommend taking them on an empty stomach. Other people say take it 20 minutes after a meal because that's when the stomach acid's lower. Either way, you can do it that way. But I don't know for certain that the stomach acid's actually going to go down by that time. If somebody has slow emptying of the stomach, they may still have contents in there that have high acidic levels. So I'm not 100% sure of that. And I know that when people have regurgitation or reflux, they're still getting that acid coming up hours later. So I'm a big fan of taking them first thing in the morning, ideally, or last thing at night, right? And so, yeah, it's not going to be 100% of, like, if you take a 200 billion organism thing, are you going to really get all 200 in you? No. Are you going to get zero in you? No. So that's why I recommend higher potency probiotics. I think the 25ers, the five, some people say, oh, I'm taking a high potency and it's two billion organisms. That's not high potency, right? Again, you have to go slowly, but I think that taking the higher potencies, at least 50, if not 100 or 200, is going to assure that your percentage of that, a big percentage, a good percentage of that is going to be absorbed. So even if it's only 25%, if you take 200, you're getting 50.
Okay. Right? Well, because the whole idea, I kept thinking, well, don't you get it in your food anyway? And your food is going through the digestive process. So it must get some portion of.
Yeah, but it's not naked. You know what I mean? And so if you're out there naked, you're going to get more hurt by the berry bushes and the brambles and all that kind of stuff because you're not protected. And so it's within the food. So it's more protected.
Okay.
Catherine, I'm concerned. Is it the ant thing again?
It's body jolts on top of the ants. So I'm a mess, but I'm okay.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But okay.
You had instead of a short jolt, you had a long one. And I just want to make sure you don't need to be getting some urgent care or anything.
Oh, no, I have this, unfortunately, a fair amount. And just in the last, bit, it's been worse, but last couple of weeks it's been worse. But
and so I would look at what are you doing that's like, are you oxalate sensitive and now you've increased your greens and you're getting more oxalates in you? Are you nightshade sensitive or you've increased, you know what I mean? Now look at that, because if it's in the last few weeks, I always want to go back and say, what did I do differently? Is there a new carpet that was put in? Is there a new drapery that was put in? Did I buy a new whatever? Did I add new foods or take away certain foods from the diet that I was doing well with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks.
Okay. So Jenny.
Gosh, I hope you're okay, Catherine. That's great, because a lot of the people that are not all of them are selling a product, and I appreciate that they're experts in their field and they kind of lead you to believe that nothing is getting to your small intestine, or I mean your large intestine.
You have to take their enterocoded, blah, 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 blah. Right. So, and the other thing that I've looked at, I don't have a product to sell for it, but if you're having trouble with it going down, why don't we put it up? right? If you have SIBO, if you have, you know, problems with, again, through the stomach acid. So I've recommended to a few people that it's not the most tasteful thing, but that you get your probiotics, you get some cocoa butter, not coconut butter, but cocoa butter, cacao butter. You melt it, you add your probiotics to it, and there's these suppository molds that you can get on Amazon. And then you put them in the suppository molds, and then you go up the other way. That way, you know they're getting in. An enema, some people can do it with a retention enema. You do a regular enema to clear out the colon. And then you do like a small amount, like 8 ounces, 4 ounces even, that you put your probiotic in and you insert up. That's less taste. That's more challenging. It's a lot of work, but that can be very helpful too. So you're re-inoculating your colon from the bottom up rather than from the top down. Because think about how many feet of intestinal tract it has to take before it gets to the colon where it's supposed to settle. And then with people who have SIBO or have ileocecal valve challenges, which I mentioned to you, Wheaton the other day, like if your valve is stuck shut or it's just like, you know, it's spasmy or whatever, then the food's going to sit in your small intestine for a long time. The probiotic's going to sit there. And then there's some lactate forming bacteria there that can grow and can create the bloat. So, you know, probiotics is not a straight and narrow, you know, it's not like this one way to do it and you have to find what works best for you. But yeah, a lot of people are selling probiotics. So, and theirs is always best. So I always take, anytime I look at a scientific study, anytime I look at a talk, it's like, what product are they selling that, you know, and if they're not, then, or they're not associated with someone who is, then I'm going to be, take their research a little bit more profoundly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And my other question I had was, when you do the green cleanse, like I know I'm kind of doing that in place of the elimination diet, I don't have any sensitivities that I'm aware of or anything like that. I feel good on it. Should I maybe stay on the green cleanse for a longer period of time? Should I just stay on it for a couple of weeks while
if
we
you want to, I've had people do that. Just make sure that you may want to make sure, do it in chronometer just to see that you're eating enough to get enough protein and, you know, various nutrients. I mean, the nutrients are probably not an issue because it's so much greens and there's so much in there. The only thing might be the protein might not be quite there. Cause if you're, unless you're eating, are you doing any nuts or seeds during this? Or are you just doing the pure green? Yeah.
Just the green, but I could add a protein into.
You could add a protein like a Sacha Inchi or something to one of your smoothies. So go the full 7 days that way. And then, right. And I always like to go back and make programs better is having different versions of the green cleanse, like the keto version of the green cleanse versus the low fat version of it. And depending, if somebody has a real challenged liver, we want to give you a 7 day period where you're not challenging it with more fat, right? And to allow it to heal. And then you slowly introduce your fat. But a lot of people do better with the fats and the ketones. And I don't do fruit, right? So the low carb version without fruit, calorically, I'm hungry all day long when I'm doing a green cleanse without fruit or fat. So it's just a matter of how you feel and just make sure that you get your nutrients.
Okay. Yeah. I know that I've already added the MCT oil or the coconut butter to the option for my son and husband because they don't need to lose weight and they're high energy type people.
Right. So exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And I wanted to say to Jenny who asked about collagen and that stuff, you know, here's the thing, we all age, right? And so the collagen goes down and the face sags and it's really gross. And when you look in the mirror and you don't like it anymore, but collagen support can be helpful. So there's, I recently stumbled upon, and I honestly mean stumbled upon because I was looking at the micro ingredients site and they had bamboo. I'm like, bamboo as a supplement? And I started reading about it and it's really supportive of collagen formation. Skin, hair, nails. So you might want to try adding some of that to your smoothie. And then the other option is the actual collagen support. There's some powders that are just collagen, but then there's the ones that have lots of the nutrients. And I like that better because anyway, your body's going to have to break it down and then rebuild it if you take the pure collagen. So Sun Warrior and Amazing Grass both have a collagen protein powder.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask too. I forgot. Something like Sasha Inko that we were talking about on one of the other calls, is that considered a good collagen support? Like, does it have everything you need? Or
no, it doesn't. No, it's just pure. It's just the protein. But people, you know, a lot of people are very sensitive to all the other ingredients. And these, both of these, I think, have rice protein and pea protein. So if you're sensitive to those aren't going to work. So with Sasha Inko, there's a company called, I just bought recently something from them, Anandamundi, it's an herbal, Ayurvedic herbal company, and they supposedly have a collagen support herbal formulation.
Anima Mundi,
there we go, Anima Mundi, A-N-I-M-A, thank you, who said that? Oh, yeah.
A-N-I-M-A?
Mundi.
And then M-U-N-D-I.
Yeah. And if you do that, if you look at that, they have a collagen support formulation that will have, you need vitamin C, you need proline, you need hydroxyproline and a little bit of lysine, not as much of the, as the others, but there's a lot of herbs and stuff that they throw in there to support that.
Okay. And that particular brand has it?
Particular brand has that one. Now there may be other companies that have a collagen support herbal blend, but that's the only one that I'm aware of right now.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the bamboo, read up on it. Go to microingredients.com. And then I got it on Amazon because it was like a little bit cheaper on Amazon to get it there. And I can get it next day without having to start a new account. So unfortunately, we're giving the monopoly a.
Yes, I know.
I grabbed some of that too, Dr. Rita Marie. So I'm going
to
try that.
It's a little scoop. You just add some to your smoothie and just see how it goes. I mean, a lot of the reviews were that people were getting, you know, hair loss was stopping and nails were growing better and all that. I haven't been consistent enough to be able to tell.
From the Anima Mundi?
No, on the bamboo. Oh,
the bamboo. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Who else had questions? Oh, are you finished, Jenny? I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. So Sandra, did you have any questions?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, so even that I'll be traveling again on February, we're going for a whole month.
Wow. Are you doing the car trip again like you did before?
Yeah, well, we're going to visit my mother-in-law in Florida. And on the way, we're going to see a couple of friends. And we're going to be camping in Florida, one in a remote island.
Whoa.
Yeah, you have to carry everything on a ferry. I mean, no car. You have to take everything with you.
Wow.
Hopefully it's not going to be that cold. And
is it Southern Florida or Northern?
It is. It's Northern on the west side of Florida. It's called I don't remember. And then we're going to camp another night close to St. Augustine.
Nice.
And then we're also going to check out Asheville again. We might retire there. We don't know yet. So.
Nice. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to take my laptop with me and I'll work as I go.
That's the lifestyle. You know, I want to be able to do that. And that's my plans for the future, is to go and visit tropical islands and beaches and campgrounds and just...
Well, most of the time in those remote places, you don't have any connectivity, but it's just for a few days, which is good.
Which is good. You want that. You want to have that
on top. No, yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my other good thing is I got an aura ring.
Okay, cool.
And according to it, my sleep is pretty good. I was surprised. I thought I was not doing very good, but
the balance of the different deep
sleep.
good recovery.
The amount of hours you're getting is good?
I've been getting about 7. Okay. Last night I got close to 8.
Good.
Because I didn't want to get up when I had to.
Because it was cold? This time of year, it's so hard to get out of bed. It's like, I don't want to get out of bed. I want to stay in bed and stay warm.
So on that area, everything good. Because I'm traveling, I'm not going to be the whole month to do the elimination diet, but I decided to do simplify my meals, do really basic meals. And that certainly I started yesterday, and that started calm down my inflammation. But I had a suspicion that maybe some of the brassicas were giving me a lot of gas and rest. Today yesterday I had broccoli. Today I had, for lunch, I had Brussels sprouts, and I had diarrhea.
So after eliminating it and then adding it back?
Well, I've been eating, I'm just doing what I have in the fridge, but making it simple. I went through the list of things, but I just cannot. Maybe when I come back from the trip, maybe I will do it seriously, but I decided to just, keep a few ingredients at a time.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Have you ever had a problem like that with Brussels sprouts before?
I had a couple of weeks that I had diarrhea continuously, sort of, which is rare for me because I'm always constipated.
That's right.
And, but then I thought, maybe it's this new probiotic I added to my yogurt. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was that. Because Steph suggested that I maybe add some Lactobacillus plantarum, and I couldn't find Lactobacillus plantarum on its own. So he had other bifidos and another Lactobacillus, and I thought, okay, maybe it was that, and my body wasn't ready for it.
I mean, it may have created anytime you add probiotics, I'm always a fan of everything slow, right? So anytime you try to change the ecology down there, it creates a war, basically, right? The good guys are trying to fight out the bad guys, and anything goes. So that's why I go really slowly and watch for that. It doesn't mean that it's bad for you. It doesn't mean that you're not tolerating it. It actually could mean something good. It could mean that they're cleaning house down there. For you. Yeah.
Well, actually, the gut tumor, it showed that I didn't have any more candida.
Yay.
Yay.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. And now what about the balance between the good guys, right? I always look at that on the first, if it's a doctor's data, it's the first page of the test where it says bifido, and I like to have them all at the same level.
I haven't had my appointment with Isabel to review it next week.
Okay.
So I don't know. I read it, but it's too much for me.
It's a lot. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. We've been highly trained in it. One of the things I would say is I just ordered it. I'll let you guys know how it goes, but it was a probiotic. It was a yogurt starter that Steph recommended. I think somebody from her Flora Club mentioned it. So I just ordered it. And I can't remember the name of it, but I'll let you guys know when it comes. It hasn't come yet. It said it was shipping. Let me see. I can find the name of it, but it has like Thermophilus plantarum and a couple of others that is supposed to be best for yogurt starter. And they were saying that she likes it best of the yogurt starters or of the probiotics to start yogurt. And I have been out for a long time, and I used to get one from Health Force Nutritionals.
Yeah, they just got
making
that
it.
It was such a
good one. It was made the best yogurt. And so since then I've tried a few others that are okay. They're not bad. Yeah. But this one, let me see if I can find the name of it. It would be in my receipts folder. So I just ordered it a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I've been basically doing the 5-strain bifido until I added this other lactobacillus. Mm-hmm. So I cannot go very far.
GI Pro Health.
Oh, Oh yeah. I have that in the fridge. I haven't been using it.
GI Pro Health to do the, and it's called GI Pro Start.
I have that one.
Okay. Yeah. And it's, well, I'll let you guys know how it does. I'm going to make yogurt when it comes in, because I haven't made yogurt in months because I just didn't like the other starter as well. Or I may have run out.
All right.
Oh, I have a meeting in.
So you think that this diarrhea could be?
I mean, it could be part of it. I would test it again, though. I would take your Brussels sprouts, put them on your suspicious list, jot down what symptoms you had, wait a few days to clear it out of your system, and then add them back in again.
Okay.
Right. And if you don't have diarrhea for 3 or 4 days, and then you add them back and you get diarrhea again, then I would say something with Brussels sprouts is causing you a problem. Mm-hmm.
But technically it's a brassica. So if it's Brussels sprouts, it should be broccoli, it should be cauliflower, it should be...
Not necessarily. Like Wheaton was saying, broccoli is just fine. And then cauliflower caused her to blow it up.
Well, broccoli created some gas yesterday.
It did. Okay. No. So your suspicion is about the brassicas is there. So, I don't know what, if you can come to the call tomorrow, we'll go this in more detail because we only have 5 minutes left, but okay. I have another, it just looks so like.
The call tomorrow is the, which one?
Oh, it's at 2:30 tomorrow is for the elimination diet.
Oh, the elimination
diet. I have this blank spot after this meeting, and then somebody stuck a meeting in there for me and I wasn't.
So you guys talked about the bonuses with the donations on the Shine.
Yeah.
I didn't get mine yet.
What was yours?
Mine was $100.
Yeah, me too.
Do you remember what the prize was?
It was the Ocean Robbins thing and the posture.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the same. I never saw it, but
I did get an email that you guys were working on it, but.
Okay, so you did get an email about it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look into it. Now my pad just stopped working.
Dr. Rita Marie, you mentioned this bamboo supportive collagen. It doesn't, yeah. I'm not finding it. Does it have a name?
Micro Ingredients.
Oh, Micro Ingredients. Okay, great.
It's the company, and then it's just bamboo. But if you look on Amazon, I think that's how I did it. Oh, I got to plug this in. I think that's how I did it. I ordered it on Amazon. And
there it is. I have too many notepads.
You have too many things open.
Thank you so much.
Sounds familiar. You're welcome. And Nancy, you asked if the B6 from the B6 magnesium from Designs for Health, I'm not familiar with that particular product, but if the B6 is P5P, it's probably fine. The only thing with Designs for Health is they do sometimes add stearates, the stearic acid I was talking about before, to their products. My favorite B6, I just found B6 bulk from, what's it called? Bulk ingredients or bulk supplements.
I got a bulk supplements thing that Lisa told me to get. And it's just this little baggie of powder. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Oh yeah, you add it to something. Smoothie.
I got the B6 and the B1. I got a little scale for drug dealers, I guess.
Oh, because they don't tell you how much is what?
No, it's 150 grams of these, 50 grams of that. Micrograms or whatever.
Scale.
So you have to weigh it.
Usually what they do is they say how many servings per container, you know, how many is there. So if they say the serving size is 5 grams, I'm just throwing this out there, 5 grams. And the container contains 100 servings. That means that the whole thing contains 50 grams. Then you have to look at, what's 1/100 of that.
Well, the thing is some on the B1 and the B6, they are so tiny, the amounts.
Yeah.
That you cannot find a spoon that's
that small. Well, that makes it very affordable, doesn't it?
It does, but it's a pain.
Yeah, you know, they are, you can get the little spoons that are a pinch and a dash. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, maybe
those would work. Yeah, you just take a little scoop. If you get a little more one day and a little less another day, it doesn't matter.
Every day I feel like a drug dealer, you know,
measuring. You feel like a drug dealer, weighing out your powder.
measuring my Coke.
Well, guys, it's been great. I don't see anything. Trisha Nelson is, she's got a program called Heal Your Hunger. So it's just worth checking out, because if you know what to do, but you're finding yourself not doing it, you got to get over that, right? It's one thing if you know what to do, you're doing it, and you're not getting the results, then we have to dig into the biochemistry and figure it out. Okay. Well, guys, it's awesome to, it's awesome to connect with you, and I look forward to continuing. All right.